The Sunnyside Tiny Homes project went before the city's Planning Advisory Committee during a lengthy meeting on Tuesday. Despite a number of voices in opposition, the committee agreed with the staff recommendation to send the proposal for rezoning to allow the building of a tiny homes park to the City Council. Alexia Helis, Senior Executive Director for Central and Southwestern New Brunswick for United Way Maritimes, and Sue LaPierre, Senior Executive Director for Mainland Nova Scotia and Affordable Housing, introduced the project. They noted that the residents will be vetted to ensure that their needs are not beyond the capacity of the project, and added information about the supports that will be provided, including healthcare and mental health services. Helis began by detailing the issue of homelessness in St. John.
The last count from November 2024 showed 202 people facing chronic homelessness, with an additional 387 facing intermittent homelessness. So our vision for the Sunnyside Tiny Home community is to provide up to 75 supportive housing units with wraparound supports to help those who are currently experiencing homelessness. Residents will pay rent in this community, and they must be able to maintain independent living and be a part of the community that we're trying to create. This will be a well-managed community. It's not a shelter or an encampment. It is permanent supportive housing. We will have 24-hour staffing and supports combined with the appropriate security equipment and measures such as lighting, fencing, and other policies designed to protect the safety and comfort of our residents, our neighbors, as well as local businesses and customers.
Amongst those in opposition were local residents and representatives of local businesses who were largely opposed to the location rather than the project itself. Although the city received more letters in favour of the project, some of those against included multiple signatories. John Wheatley, a business consultant representing a number of local businesses, including Canadian Tire and East Point Shopping Mall, also spoke against the proposal.
Our community's got a problem, and we must manage this current homelessness situation, and the development of tiny homes is certainly a step in that direction. The location selected for the tiny homes is very, very critical, both to the success of the project and to the impact that this may have on the community. And that's what I want to speak to tonight. So I'm not going to repeat in detail the areas of concern around vandalism, shoplifting, intimidation, assaults, and panhandling that have already been supplied to you. The economic development risk is huge. Simply put, the uninvited elements that could be attractive to this location will put a damper on the planned expansion for housing and commercial enterprises at East Point and other enterprises in the area, and this will change the economics of future investment decisions. We are very much against it for all of the concerns that we raised tonight. It is clearly the location that is the concern to these eight companies that I'm representing here tonight. It is not the project.
Board member of the nearby Fernhill Cemetery, Peter Graham, stated that they are neither opposed to or in favour of the tiny homes village. However, president of the cemetery, Elaine Daly, detailed some of their concerns.
What I would like to share is the uniqueness of the neighbor that we will be to this development if it's approved on that location. I feel quite confident that they're trying to do everything possible to provide all the proper services and make sure that it is well managed and everybody's needs are being met. We as a board are in charge with making sure that the property is well maintained and managed. No damage comes to any of the grave sites or anything. It's sacred ground, and we take our responsibility very seriously, and it is important to us to be sure that it's not the people that would necessarily live in the development. It would be the unintended people that may come around that could pose the problems to our property, and we'd like to be able to work with the United Way and the other members of the people that are going to manage it to make sure that our concerns are addressed and that we have the security and means to monitor. It's very important that no damage is done to the cemetery, because it would be extremely bad press for everybody concerned to have the sacred ground that we've been entrusted to manage and maintain be harmed in any way.
A number of organizations spoke in favor, including the St. John Chamber of Commerce and St. John Energy, which is partnering with United Way in the project. Greg Bishop, Senior Director of the Human Development Council, a social planning council based in the city, expressed that organisation's concern with the issues of poverty and homelessness in St. John. He noted their support, beginning by asking how the many struggles people are facing might be solved.
What is the solution? Well, housing's a big part of the solution. The only problem is there isn't very much of it. It takes a lot of time to build. So what we have here is a community-based organization that's been embedded in St. John for a very long time, who's willing to do some work. A lot of thought is being put into who is best suited for this type of model and how can we best support them. My understanding is the individuals that are being identified as being a good fit for the model are those who are within a low to moderate need of service. They still have struggles like many people do. My belief is that the proponents of this application are putting every effort to ensure that the management of the operation is done so in a way that's beneficial to the greater community and to the clients they seek to serve. And for all those reasons, we are very much in support.
A public hearing of the proposal will take place before the City Council on February the 10th. The audio was taken from the recording of the meeting posted on the St. John City YouTube page. This is Ionico for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.